this morning I want to look at our Haftarah portion this morning. And it is a portion that sort of ties in with our Passover Seder that's going to be coming up this Friday evening. And without going to a lot of explanation this morning, let me just say that every Passover Haggadah, and you know that I mention this every year at the Passover Seder, but every Passover Haggadah connects the prophet Elijah, Eliyahu HaNavi, the prophet Elijah, with the coming of the Messiah. And it's in every, and I mention this every year because I want to remind people while they're at that Seder that every Haggadah, no matter what version it is, around the world, brings in the prophet Elijah, and the prophet Elijah announcing the coming of Messiah. That's something you can always count on being in our Passover Haggadahs, whatever we use. And again, you know, and I say this every year as I'm beginning, but let me remind you, we use a very traditional Passover Haggadah, the Maxwell House Passover Haggadah. We could use any that we wanted to, but we use the traditional Passover Haggadah. Basically, the reason I chose to use it 32 years ago was because it is used in most Jewish homes today, and it's been around for, I believe, almost 100 years. And so it's very traditional, it's very family friendly, and so I choose to use it so that basically Jewish people that come in are gonna feel very accustomed to it, and they're gonna feel very comfortable with it. So we have this concept of Elijah the prophet, and it is in the Haggadah. And it's not a wild concept that the rabbis put it in there. Although the rabbis come up with some wild concepts over the years, this is not a wild concept that they came up with. It's not imagery for the sake of sensationalism, to wow the people. Our Haftarah this morning from Malachi, and it's the English is Malachi 3, 4 through 4, 6. I want to go to our Haftarah portion this morning because this is a very important thing. I usually give a little bit of this information at the Seder. Like I said, I'm not going to really develop it today, but I want to talk about Elijah the prophet, and I want to talk about something that I usually don't talk about at the Seder. But the last two verses give us our Passover connection. So let's go up to those last two verses, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Pretty tough words, pretty rough words, pretty hard words that God is telling Israel at this time, and he's proclaiming it. Behold, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to send Elijah the prophet. The translation that we get in English, and the translation that in most of the translations in English, they're a little off. And so I want to just sort of bring it around to what I think really it's saying more. This does get to the point, this translation. But I want to bring in this translation here. So we have Boyom Adonai HaGadol VeHaNora. That's the Hebrew, and I have it written on the bottom there. The coming of the great HaGadol, the great and awesome HaNora, day of the Lord. Because Nora is awesome. So the translation, like I said, although if it says great and dreadful day of the Lord, it has some kind of shock to us and meaning. But it says, I believe really, if we really look at the literal Hebrew, it's the great and awesome day of the Lord. Like I said, it still brings through that point. So the thing is, what will be making it awesome for us, hearts are going to be changed. The reality is, it's going to be a dreadful day for some people, and it's going to be an awesome day for some other people. And if that day is awesome for some people, and it'll be a dreadful curse for some people, then we need to look at this just a little bit more this morning. And although the rabbis have chosen to exclude the first four verses of Malachi, and as we know that, you know, they will have a tendency to exclude certain things, but in Malachi 3, they exclude the first four verses. It tells us really who Malachi is announcing. And so the Malachi of our Passover Seder is the same, the Eliyahu of the Passover Seder is the same Eliyahu that Malachi speaks of. It's the same Eliyahu, it's the same Elijah the prophet. So here, so God speaking, we're going to look at Malachi 3:1. Just hold off, okay, guys? Just take a chill pill. We weren't there yet. Okay. Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. This is how Malachi opens that chapter. God says, behold, again, it's something that he wants the people to really see and understand. It's going to be something really special. He says, behold, I will send my messenger, says the Lord. He will be the Lord. Behold, he's going to be the Lord. And he will appear suddenly. And he's going to come into his temple. And he will teach us his ways. That's who Malachi is announcing through God, that Elijah, the prophet, is going to be announcing. That's who Elijah is going to be announcing. Behold, I send him. Behold, he is coming. Behold, I, the Lord, will send Elijah to announce me. Oh, and by the way, to announce me, who I am going to come into the temple suddenly into the history of man sometime, and I am going to walk into the temple, and I am going to teach you, as I am here, I'm going to teach you the commandments, and I'm going to teach you my ways. That's who Elijah is announcing. So God announces the coming of Messiah, and then we'll send Elijah to announce the coming of Messiah. Okay, so the book of Malachi records the last words of the last prophet. Malachi is the last prophet in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. His book is the last, and even chronologically, it is the last book of the Tanakh. And so Malachi is the last prophet that speaks to Israel. Before the closing of the Tanakh, before the closing of the Old Testament. Now, 400 years go by, and during those 400 years, we don't have the events of what we have in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament. It's 400 years. It's 400 years, really, and it's spoken of in Judaism. It's 400 years that God doesn't speak to Israel anymore through the prophets. 400 years. It's referred to as the 400 years of silence because none of the prophets hear from the Lord. And God raises up no other prophets during that 400-year period. And in Judaism, 400 years of the slavery and bondage in Egypt is referred to as the 400 years of bondage. And so this is what God tells Abraham. We'll go to Genesis and then Exodus, a couple of verses here. And then he said to Avram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years." So God tells Avram, before his name is changed to Abraham, that your people are going to go into a land that isn't theirs, and the people aren't their people, and they're going to serve those people for 400 years. And then in Exodus, we read Exodus 3:12, and so God says, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." And so he's reminding him, the people are going to know when you do what you do and when you speak to them, Moses, the people are going to know, because I'm going to bring you out of the slavery and bondage, and then I'm bringing you out so that you can serve me. And so we have the 400 years of silence, and then we have the 400 years of bondage. Imagine that. Imagine 400 years of slavery and silence. At the Passover, followed by freedom through the blood of the Lamb. Imagine that. And I say that because we had 400 years of silence, and then the Jewish people experienced a freedom 400 years later through the blood of the Passover Lamb of God, Yeshua. Imagine that. I didn't know what to call my message this morning, but you know what I called it? Who could make up stuff like this? That's what I'm giving there. Who can make up stuff like this? Who could do that? And you know, people say, oh, the stories and about Yeshua and the New Testament, it's all made up. They don't understand this. Well, let me trust. You know what? There are many, many, too many leaders in Judaism for too many years that said, you know, those Christians, they made up that New Testament and they created this new religion, but boy, they knew an awful lot about Judaism to make this thing up. 400 years of slavery and bondage, freed by the blood of the Lamb, and then 400 years of silence, and then our people were freed from slavery and bondage through the blood of the Passover Lamb. So, and the thing is, God told us about this thing. So let's go to Deuteronomy 18. And then the Lord your God will raise, and so he's speaking to Moses and he's speaking to the nation of Israel. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, because Moses is speaking the words of God. And the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, and him you will hear. You know why? Because they didn't follow Moses. But he said, but him you're going to hear. You're going to listen to. And he says, and he tells them why he's going to listen to. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and he will put my words in his mouth, because God is speaking through Moses. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, says the Lord, I will require it of him. You know, and I don't, you know, the only way we can explain that in our terminology from what he said to Moses, and Moses said to the nation of Israel, I will require it of him. You know what? And him you're going to hear. And you know why? Because whoever will not hear my words from this prophet, I am going to require it of him. In other words, there's going to be something not too good at the end of the line. I'm going to really require it of them. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good picture. So the Jewish people, him, they're going to listen to, because they didn't listen to Moses. But if they don't, there's going to be something that's not too good, and they're not going to be at the end very happy about that whole thing. Who could make this stuff up? Just as last week I talked about Yeshua choosing those 12 original disciples to serve him, God is calling us today to be freed from that bondage and slavery that we know as the world, that we know as the ways of the world, and that we know as the sin that came into humankind because Adam and Eve sinned. And we carry that in our DNA with us. And it's not by being bad people, and it's not by robbing a bank or murdering people. It's by being born. Because we carry that same. We carry, in a sense, that curse because Adam and Eve sinned. And we carry it with us just by being who we are. We are born, King David says, we are born into sin. And so we are freed from that bondage. And we serve him with gratitude. Or we should serve him with gratitude because of the gift of eternal life that he has given us through Messiah Yeshua, the Passover Lamb of God. You see, this is a parallel thing going on here, but how many times do I get this opportunity to tell you God does something physical, and one day we see the spiritual copy or the spiritual thing that was foreshadowed in the physical? You see, that was totally a physical yet a spiritual exodus. But this is purely a spiritual ride here that we're going through today. And so we see it's not coincidence. It's parallel, but God does this so often. He gives us something physical to reveal something to us, a spiritual truth. And Yeshua was born to be the Passover Lamb of God. Yeshua was born to die. That was his mission. He came, yes. He taught the people his ways, his commandments. As God says, he will come, the prophet like Moses, and he will teach my ways, my commandments to you. And he did that. But he didn't come just to teach. Otherwise, the traditional rabbis today would say, oh, well, he came to be a good rabbi and be a great teacher. But that's not why he came. That was sort of icing on the cake. He came to die for our sins. He came so that his shed blood would atone for those sins. Otherwise, mankind would continually be in that cycle of being born in sin and dying in sin. Born in sin and dying in sin. He came to break that cycle. He was born to die. And even before he started his ministry, his cousin, Yochanan, John, that we read, tell the people who he was. Let's go to John 1:29, and this is Yochanan HaMatbil. You know, they call him John the Baptist. He was mikveing. He was mikveing the people for their sins that they had committed. And so, the next day, Yochanan, Yeshua's cousin, saw Yeshua coming toward him, and he said, and this is before Yeshua even started his ministry, and he said to all the people that were there to be mikvahed, he said, behold, again we have that behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yochanan was given these spiritual eyes through the Ruach, through God's Spirit, and the understanding through the Ruach HaKodesh of who his cousin was and was going to be. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It was proclaimed even before Yeshua's ministry started. And even before Yochanan was born, we see about this, we read about this, the Lamb of God, even before that, because 700 years earlier, we'll go to Isaiah 53. We know it, you know, it's our, you know, it's our messianic chapter that we always point to. Because Isaiah, 700 years before Yochanan and Yeshua was even born, Isaiah spoke the word of God through his lips. Isaiah the prophet said that he spoke of someone, the arm of the law, the Lord, the arm of the Lord that is going to be revealed. And he said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, see, his soul was an offering for sin. Who ever heard of such a thing? Because up until this time, it was always animals that were slain for our sins. When you make his soul an offering for sin, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgression, for the transgressors. In other words, he intercedes for the sinners. How? Through his shed blood. When he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And it wasn't because people didn't like him, and it wasn't, it was ordained because it pleased God that he would suffer and bleed and die. How could it please the Lord? Because God, it was the entire plan that he was born to die. And so it pleased his Father in heaven, because his Father in heaven knew that's why he was sent to earth to be born in the flesh, to die for the sins of mankind. And when this age is over, people, we have a little glimpse by another Yohanan, another John, the Yohanan that wrote the Gospel of John, Gospel of Yohanan. And when he was an old man, he had this, God brought him to a special place and he had this vision. And so we read in Revelation 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. And John says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And he was looking, God was showing him the future, not even his future when he dies. He showed us a future even past us today. And he says, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, it's a number we can't even number that number. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's the Lamb. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, as such are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, because when we're in the kingdom with God, we're all going to be praising the Lord. Bob talked about worshiping, praising the Lord. It's going to be a 24/7 kind of thing. We're going to be praising the Lord. Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever, because that's eternity, people. That is more than forever and ever. Put a couple of tens of thousands of tens of thousands of ever after that. And so it's the Passover Lamb. Well, we're going to be celebrating Friday night because God told us, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and do it as a memorial. You know, the Exodus was done thousands of years ago, but do it as a memorial. Don't say, it was done. It happened. No, do it as a memorial. You know, but it's a memorial. It's a memorial looking back to what God did, but is a memorial to look forward to what God is going to do. You see, to what he did when Yeshua was born of a virgin. God was born and came in the flesh in that form for us. And then we look into the future and we see that he is still the Lamb of God and what he's going to do. So what we do Friday night it's much more than, you know, growing up, oh, we did it, we had our Seder at home, we ate matzah, we complained about that, we had to eat matzah for the whole week. You know, we did this all the time. But the thing is, it's okay, because I never eat bread or wheat anyway. So it doesn't matter to me, people. You can suffer all you want, but I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But the thing is, this is much greater. It goes much beyond just getting together and fellowshipping together at a hotel and listening to wonderful music and celebrating the Passover Seder, but we're celebrating something that happened in the past, and it happened spiritually 2,000 years ago, and it's going to happen to its fulfillment because we're all going to be around worshiping and praising God the Father and the Lamb of God, and they're on the throne. So let's get ready, people. We're going to have a great Passover. Amen. We are. I'm going to be bold to say it, even if you don't like the food. It's hotel food. That's what it is. What you pay for your ticket is what we pay for your meal. That's what it costs. You can go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get cheaper chicken. It's true. I'll be there, but you won't get matzo ball soup there. But let's get ready. We're going to have a great Passover. We're going to have a great Seder. And we are going to have a great memorial. And we're going to have great expectation that night and carry it on through to that next week. Aren't we? You know, listen. Is there any reason to think anything else, because he is, he was, and he is, and he will always, forevermore, be the Passover Lamb of God. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you did, because you did it. You didn't need to do it. You did it because you love us, Lord. And you want to be with us one day. You want to be able to, like Adam and Eve, stroll through the garden. You want to be with us. That is awesome. And that is a blessing. And so we thank you, Lord, all the things that you have gone through, so that one day, if we choose to, we will be with you for eternity. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.